This episode is brought to you by Impossible Foods. When the world is telling you to eat less meat because it's bad for the environment and bad for your health, Impossible Foods wants you to eat more meat. Yes, that company that makes meat from plants, Impossible Foods. By creating delicious, nutrient-packed meat from plants that's better for the planet. Impossible lets you enjoy some of your favorite meaty products with a plant-based twist. Ground beef, home-style meatballs, sausage patties, and so much more. All made from plants. Check out ImpossibleFoods.com to see how you can help solve the meat problem with more meat. That's ImpossibleFoods.com.
Betches Media presents Diet Starts Tomorrow with host Aileen Drexler.
I'm having a relationship with my pizza.
In a world where wellness looks perfect on Instagram.
Just doing my workout. Tuesday's arms and back.
But feels anything but in real life.
Is butter a carb?
Yes.
This is the podcast exploring the emotional side of well-being.
I would be proud to partake of your pecan pie.
From people who understand the struggle.
I'm on the third day of my cleanse diet.
Hello and welcome to Diet Starts Tomorrow. I'm Aileen, your host. You know me. And we have an amazing, amazing guest today. I'm so excited to bring him in. But before I do, I want to remind you guys that we have amazing DST merch at Shop Betches. Currently, I'm wearing our health and wellness crew. It's gray, it's cute, it's comfy, and I love to just kind of chill in it. And so go to shop.betches.com. Just type in health and wellness crew, type in DST, you know what to do. And you know what else you guys know really well how to do is leave us a 5-star review. That would be so nice. If you really like the show, just leave a nice review. Just be like, hey, love DST. Can't wait for the next episode. Here are some ideas, or here's my favorite thing about DST. Just do that. I love you for it. You can even DM me and tell me that you did it, and I'll answer you. So please go do that. And one more thing is just a reminder that Sammy's going to be back with me next week for DST Back for Seconds. So don't forget to subscribe. Those episodes, they're bonus episodes. They come out twice a month, and you can subscribe on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. As a reminder, on Apple Podcasts, that bonus episode shows up on the regular DST feed, but on Spotify, you have to go to a separate feed. I don't know why they do it, but they do it, and you just have to simply search for Diet Starts Tomorrow Back for Seconds and find the exclusive feed for subscribers. I know it's confusing, but it's kind of easy when you figure it out. So now, I am so, so excited to introduce our amazing guest today. He is hilarious. He's relatable. He's a TikTok and Instagram star and wears a lot of beanies that do not hit his ears. And even more importantly, he's a mental health advocate. So welcome to DST, Rod Thill, who you guys might just know as Rod or just me, Rod.
Yeah.
Hey.
Depends on the platform.
Do you go by Rod though?
Like, I go right? by Rod.
Just
yeah.
Just, at Rod.
Yeah. I used to have just me, Rod on both platforms. And then one day someone at TikTok was like, hey, if you could have any handle, what would it be? Do you like just me, Rod, or whatever? And I was like, I guess Rod would be it. And then he later that day texts me, he goes, check your new handle. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I guess I'm going by Rod on TikTok, which is cool.
That's, you know, so nice.
Yeah, it's cool to have that unlock.
That's great. Well, welcome to the show, Rod.
Yeah.
Not just you. Me, Rod. So, okay. So I really thought that you've been sort of doing this like millennial work TikTok thing forever, but recently I learned that it was just like a pandemic thing turned
mid-pandemic even. Yeah, it's just a little
mid-pandemic,
a little over a year.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. And now you're like just every, I mean, my team loves to post, to share your stuff.
I don't want to get emotional, but I've told some people on your team this, that I attribute a lot of my success to Betches, because you guys were like one of the first big, you know, platforms and social media pages to promote me. So thank you for helping me get
started.
That
makes me so happy. Yeah. That's why we do it. Well, yeah, I really want to talk about like your success. But first, I want to know, like, this came out of like you have a full-time job, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. I have a different full-time job than when I started, but I was working full-time.
And now you sort of have two full-time jobs.
Kind of. Yeah. it's
what's
lot.
Your job A?
So my job. So I was, when I started all this, I was just working at like a corporate tech sales. I was selling like shipping and logistics, which is just like the least sexy thing to talk about. and then started making the videos, and then I'm like, wow, I could maybe do marketing. So I started looking at some marketing jobs. I quit for a little bit and pursued this full time, but then I realized, you know, I miss being on Zoom calls, and I miss like feel a little bit more stability. So now I do consulting with brands for creators, which is cool. Just, you know, talking to brands and making sure they know how the creator world functions, because a lot of them don't.
I thought you were being sarcastic when you said that you miss Zoom calls. Like,
I don't know, no, I do. I love, you know, it's just I crave human interaction. If there's anything I've learned in the pandemic is that I'm an introverted extrovert, whatever you call that. So I need that human interaction.
I mean, but we need like in-person interaction, well, right?
Yeah, that too. But I even just like sometimes I'll be sitting, especially for me, like I feel like I'm not being successful if I'm not like doing something during the workday. You know, I can't be the kind of person where it's like, I have a day not doing anything. I'm going to take advantage of it. I still sit in front of my computer overwhelmed and be like, something's wrong. I have to do something, you know?
I feel you on that. Yeah. So then how did you just start posting? You started posting about like, what made you do it?
Yeah. Well, so I loved Vine. Right. Yeah. Remember like the 7-second videos, you know, the revining, a lot of the YouTube stars rose out of that platform. And then TikTok came along during the quarantine and I was like, this is amazing. It's going to be just like Vine. And then I got on and tried watching some videos or tried understanding how to make one. I'm like, I can't do this at all. So I hopped off as millennials get overwhelmed super easily. And then quarantine picked back up. And then I was like, you know what? Let's get back on. Started actually making videos, and then I struck a chord with this like nostalgic work from home content hybrid that I made, and then just posted about my real anxieties I have about working, and that I talked about in therapy with my boss or with my therapist about my boss, and people were like, hard relate. Yeah. So then I just kept making those videos, and then I started doing like my millennial recaps where I, you know, educate on Gen Z trends and pop culture, and now that's kind of my brand.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's really impressive. Yeah. So is there ever like a conflict? I mean, now I guess I'm assuming there's no conflict with your job, but was there one before because you were sort of complaining about work?
Yeah. It's kind of interesting. I did take a lot of my, like, whenever I talked about like a toxic workplace or whatever, it was about the past jobs, you know, which they know who they are, I think, because a couple of them have reached out. I'm like, well, but really? I worked, they were like, love your stuff. And I'm like, do you?
Because it's about you.
It's like, you know, it's about you, right? I was talking to I remember the first Slack message I got when I started making the videos was from my direct manager. And she was like, my friend just sent me this. And her friend didn't know it was me. And I was like, I was like, well, yeah, I guess we should talk about this. And she was like, yeah, it's great. And they were like super supportive. And then like one day I was in an all hands meeting, which, if you don't know what an all hands meeting is, it's just like a company wide meeting that is pointless. That could be an email. No offense if you host them for matches.
Quarterly. As needed.
Yeah. Ours were weekly. So it was very much.
Oh my God.
But they, I was just sitting, obviously camera off, ignoring it, scrolling TikTok. And then I heard my voice. I'm like, what is that? And then I look and it was a startup. So it's like 150 people, but my TikTok was playing at the all hands on the all hands meeting. And I was like, so then the whole company found out, but they were super supportive. They loved it. They even said when I quit, if I wanted to come back, I could. So
that's so funny. Mm-hmm. Were they like calling you out or it was just like a coincidental?
They were just like, we wanted to start today. They usually start with, you know, a funny YouTube video or a meme or something, you know, just camaraderie. And they used me one day. And then it's even funny because sometimes like our old CEO will, my old CEO will buy a cameo from me or something. And like, it's so sweet.
Supportive.
But yeah, I'm like, we can just have me FaceTime in. I don't know. But
So you talk about anxiety and like mental health. Well, that's actually how this kind of came to be, is that I heard you talk on Victoria Garrick's podcast, who also was a previous guest. And she's also friends with Natalie, right?
Like, it's all full circle. It's so crazy. Yeah. We connected separately. She's like, it's all full circle.
That's so funny how you talked about like body image and mental health with that. So how did you start even like just talking about it? Or because you even talked about like anxiety when it comes to work. Can you talk about that? Have you been going to therapy forever?
I hadn't been going to therapy forever. I definitely grew up, and I don't know if it's just like I'm 31, going to be 32 this year. And I feel like this mid-millennial cusp was like, there were people who started to get it when we were younger. That's, you know, like therapy could be helpful, but I know, and just the way that I grew up in the community I grew up in, they were like, no, therapy's bad. Like therapy means like you need help, you know? And it was just, your parents do everything to make you not have to go to therapy. Even when I first started going, my mom was like, what did I do wrong? And it's like,
You didn't. That's definitely the generation.
Tried to raise. Yeah, exactly. You just try to raise me the best you could. And I just need an unbiased opinion that I can talk to, that I know I can confide in. And all that to say, I didn't grow up with it. I was kind of turned away from it. And then about like 6 or 7 years ago, I, you know, just was kind of going through it and found a therapist that I liked. And, you know, obviously as people do, they graduate from therapists or they try a couple different ones. I'm in between therapists right now. I'm looking for a new one, which I think it's just completely normal to talk about because a lot of people get scared with that too. But I haven't always done therapy and I do definitely see value in it, which has pushed me to be more open and honest about my anxieties and the things that I talk about in therapy with other people, because I know unfortunately, not everyone has the resources to pursue it.
So what specifically do you like, what about anxiety or like, what about the things that you talk about on TikTok? Cause I mean, TikTok can be pretty like surface level. Mm-hmm. So how do you go about sharing the message of mental health?
Yeah. I think at first it was just kind of putting it in a humorous way. And then kind of easing the blow with these millennial nostalgic songs, like, you know, random one hit wonders like 18s or Bewitched C'est La Vie. I uploaded this morning. A lot of Jesse McCartney. So it was just like, and that's one thing my therapist has always told me as well, is if I was feeling down or if I was feeling, you know, like a depressive episode, to turn on my favorite movie from when I was a kid, or to listen to a playlist or an old CD that I had. And then I kind of took that and put that onto TikTok and put onto the real world.
It is amazing how nostalgia does make you feel better.
And it's
right?
even wild because that these songs that I use, I grew up, which I'm sure we'll talk about, I grew up overweight. I was obese medically and had a hard time with that. I was bullied obviously because of it, which happened a lot. I was bullied for my masculinity because I wasn't the most masculine. I was put into boxes, you know, when I was still trying to figure myself out. So I just escaped from the world through music. I would sit alone at lunch and just put on my headphones and listen to these songs that I'm now using in videos, which is just so interesting and kind of full circle to see that transition.
This episode is brought to you by Azo. The Azo brand wants the world to stop treating women's health like a dirty word. Because the reality is, UTIs, yeast infections, and bladder control issues are common among women. But dealing with them is an uncommon act that many women are skittish about due to judgment, shame, and inaction. The Azo brand offers probiotics, prebiotics, and vaginal suppositories that help keep your vaginal health in check every day. Like Azo Complete Feminine Balance, designed with a clinically studied probiotic blend that helps restore natural balance of good bacteria. Also, Azo Boric Acid suppositories support and help with vaginal odor control. And Azo Dual Protection provides extra protection from the common cycle of urinary and vaginal issues. Everyday things like stress, your cycle, sex, and certain medications like antibiotics or the pill can disrupt your vaginal microbiome, allowing unfriendly bacteria to impact pH or extra yeast to grow. Guys, you shouldn't feel ashamed. Azo's got you covered. I'm a big fan of Azo. I actually keep it in my bathroom now because the last thing you want to do when you have a UTI is to run out to the pharmacy. So keep it stocked at home like I do and you never have to worry about it. I cannot recommend it enough. And you can save 20% now with promo code BETCHES on AZOPRODUCTS.com. Don't know which product you need? Take the quiz to learn more.
So you just briefly shared, and I really want to get into it, about your past with like body image. And you said you grew up obese and that really affected your mental health. So can you just talk about that? What was that like?
Yeah, it was really hard. And, you know, just I grew up with my it's so funny. I grew up with a grandma who loved to cook, who I was really close with. And even when I lost weight, she told me I wasn't fun anymore because I wouldn't eat everything she put on my plate. But I just kind of grew up in that environment, you know, and my mom was a big component of fad diets. You know, she did Atkins. She always had Slim Fast or the Lean Cuisine meals, you know, which I still love a Lean Cuisine flatbread as much as the next person. But then there's the pressure of like, I didn't like sports, right? And I just wasn't athletic and I'm still not coordinated. I obviously like to work out, but, I couldn't throw a ball if you paid me. And so I just, you know, kind of regressed to the opposite way of just, you know, like computer, TV, you know, just like not being active, right? Which then pushed me to be overweight, and, you know, the anxiety and all of that kind of kept me in the space of, like isolation, you know, and then I just used food as a vice instead of activity, instead of socializing. And then growing up,
how old were you?
Oh, I think I started when I was like 12 is when I really started. Yeah, because naturally, like growing up, I was very thin. And I still have like a thin frame. Like it's really hard for me to put on muscle, but I just never had a fast metabolism, I guess. And college came, you know, everyone gains weight in college, you know, escape the house. And it was so funny. Looking back, I was talking to my dad about it yesterday. Actually, he did so much to make sure that he supported me. Like he never forced me to play football or anything, but he wanted me to be active so bad that he was like, do taekwondo with me and all this stuff. And I just hated it. And then college hit, you know, gained weight. I was at 350 pounds. I'm 6'5", so, you know, like proportionally
ask how tall you are. You seem very tall.
Yeah. Interesting. Sometimes I'll see people in public and like, you give off short people energy. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, well. No, you seem tall. I don't know. Maybe that's where the phone frame is.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But then I started, I went through a breakup that wasn't even like, we dated for 3 months. The breakup didn't affect me, but I think it was just like I was sitting on my couch and I had lied to my parents and told them I was going to a gym that they were paying a membership for. And so I just went to the gym one day and started walking on the treadmill and then started running on the treadmill. And then, you know, like maybe I should pick up some weights and started picking up weights. I started reading nutrition labels, but then it got to the flip side where I was using MyFitnessPal, which I love the app, you know, like just making sure, you know, you understand macronutrients, and it taught me a lot about, you know, what macronutrients are and a well-balanced meal. But it got to an addiction to a point where I lost 170 pounds in 7 months. Because I was like running 6 miles a day. I was eating 1200 to 1600 calories a day. I was losing friends because like we can't go out with you because you are so like every time I put a French fry in my mouth, I was like so obsessive about it.
You freaked out.
And that's when I sought therapy because, you know, and then turned out I had an anorexia, you know, and you know, it's just like crazy the flip side that I lived with. It was wild. And even I lived with that for a couple years until I found a pretty healthy relationship with food. I feel like right now I'm in a weird spot where I'm kind of going back towards like my original ways, you know, of just like using food as a vice. But I am using, you know, as you talk about non-scale to keep me going that aren't, you know, stepping on the scale twice a day.
Right. Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. No, I know. Yeah. I've definitely also been there.
Yeah.
And I also feel like when you're younger, like you talked about being like bullying, people are bullying you. And like, I feel like that being in that body, and I can 100% relate, is that like that also discourages you from doing anything active. Like you don't want to be seen like that.
I feel like right now going through it with just quarantine, you know, everyone went through during quarantine. Some people had the resources to keep up with it. I didn't. Just home workouts is all I had. And I'll go back to the gym sometimes and I just see these like insanely fit former athletes. And I'm like, well, that's not me, you know, and then I just get down and just like leave, you know, just because I'm like, I'm still self-conscious. And that's all internal. Like no one's telling me that now. It's just how I feel. But it is crazy because even when I was at my thinnest, I wanted to keep losing weight and I physically couldn't anymore. Mm-hmm. And I realized that I was like, I want to achieve a specific body that I'll never be able to look like. Because, you know, anyone who goes through that intense of a weight loss in that short amount of time is going to have loose skin. Is going to have, you know, just their body isn't proportioned and that it wasn't a continual growth. So it's just, I got in my head about that too, which led to severe body dysmorphia, you know, where even like I was trying to, you know, I was wearing clothes that fit, but then I would look and I would see like a little bit of, you know, a muffin top and I'd be like, oh my God, I like need to like lose weight again. Or, you know, I need, you know, it's just, it was very unhealthy.
You talk about being anorexic, but I think it's also interesting to hear that from a male perspective. How did you deal with that?
So it's so interesting because I was like at the end of like when I started going to therapy, I was dealing with it alone. It was, and then I got in a relationship that was really healthy, you know, and it was good. And they taught me how to have a really good relationship with food.
Your relationship.
My relationship. Yeah. So it's like,
you? Okay.
It's so interesting. And then, but then that's when I was starting therapy as well. And that's when my therapist was like, yeah, you, from what he saw, anorexia. And I went to psychologist as well. And all that to say, it definitely did put things into perspective for me to understand that my life is worth more than my image, you know? And again, my relationship helped with that. It still helps. And it's just, you know, it's more about the people that are in your life rather than like the vices, I'm realizing. If like Super Bowl, I love eating dip, you know, I'm just massive amounts of dip, and that's fine, you know? And then I understand too that like how I need to treat my body in order to feel healthy and to feel confident. Cause my anxiety is usually higher when I'm not my most confident. And when I'm not my most confident is when I'm binge eating, you know, and when I'm, you know, wake up feeling groggy because I didn't put a vegetable in my body the day before.
all know that. How that feels.
Yeah, exactly.
So do you feel that like it's kind of creeping back now? Is it because of work from home? Is it, what do you think?
I think it's work from home. I think it honestly is also this world that I'm living in now where I'm comparing my body so much to other people. And I'm going to be completely honest with you, and the platforms will probably hate that I'm talking about this, but it just sucks looking at someone like Noah Beck, who is just like, just famous for being hot, you know, and like, we've had that our entire life, Brad Pitt, Chris Hemsworth, you know, it's just like all these people, but especially on the app too, where it's just like people follow hot people just to get their straps. And then I'm like hustling, working my ass off to make a video about anxiety that flops, that I spent an hour on, when I'm like, maybe if I had a six pack and just danced around for 5 seconds, you know, I would have more validation. But then that's when I realized too, that that's not what my community wants to see, right? Like, I feel like I get snapped into perspective where I'm like, I have nearly 1.5 million followers on TikTok and like 750,000 on Instagram. Like, who do I think I am that I need to like keep like growing and blowing up, when it's like, I have these people that I've reached already. So why can't I just keep, even if I just stay where I'm at and reach those people, that's all that matters, you know?
I mean, like, I really appreciate your honesty and sharing like something like that, because it's you usually only hear that from like a female,
yeah,
comparing all like that thinness that's celebrated on social media and media. But like, I really haven't heard that from male's perspective.
It's so interesting too, because a lot of people talk about their imposter syndrome with work, which I definitely do have too, where it's like my boss hates me or I'm not doing a good enough job. But I also have this imposter syndrome. I feel like body dysmorphia is kind of a version of imposter syndrome in itself, you know, like you're putting on clothes that you know that fit, that people tell you look good in, but you don't think you look good in them. You can't convince yourself enough, you know?
Yeah. I think like the comparing thing, like, I think that's so common. I think all of us do that. And especially like having a career in social media, how, like, I know you sort of said some things about like how to snap back, but like for people who are listening who really struggle with that, like, how do you suggest sort of, do you have like some mantra in your head? How do you remind yourself that it's not, you shouldn't compare?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, I think that the hardest thing that I'm even seeing on TikTok, which I don't know if you follow Drew Afuolo, I think is how you say her last name.
No, I don't.
She's this girl. She's amazing. She has her own podcast too, but she basically just tears down misogynistic men who just like basically make fun of women for being overweight, or for, you know, like women are just born for like what they were in biblical times, you know, and all this stuff. And it's like, what? So basically she just tears them down. But one thing that she's even said, because she's a trainer and her boyfriend's a trainer, and I've seen from my therapist too, is that first of all, not all bodies are the same. Like, I probably won't ever be able to have that like low ab situation that a lot of these men have that I'm like comparing myself to, and that's fine. And I've never been one to like post thirst traps, or probably never would, you know? I don't like beach vacations. I don't like, you know, it's not even just because I don't like taking my shirt off, but it's just like, I don't know. I like to do other different types of things, and that's okay. So I think, to answer your question, long-winded, I think it's just understand that you are a unique person who adds so much value to the world outside of what you look like, even, right? Like, I think about it. If you were on a Zoom call with all cameras off, what would the person who's leading the Zoom call take away from you versus someone else? You know, like, are you able to give insight? Are you able to show value as an actual person rather than someone who is just a pretty face?
Mm-hmm. No, I think that that's really helpful.
Yeah.
I also think about that, just to remove the whole camera element of life and like what it would feel like to just enjoy yourself. Even you talk about being on the beach, like, or going on trips with people or like friends or something, and there's a beach or bathing suit or less clothes involved.
Yeah, yeah, literally. Summer. Winter's here, finally, you know.
Finally.
Yeah, sweatshirts.
Beanies.
Okay.
When you're not feeling great about yourself, it almost feels like a threat of a camera being involved somewhere.
Yeah.
You know? And I wonder, like, sometimes I think about that, like, okay, who cares about whatever, who sees me through whatever lens? It's just about, like, showing up and just being yourself. Because at the end of the day, like, this perspective of you from someone else doesn't, while it matters because that kind of is the way that we communicate, it doesn't really change who you are.
Yep.
So that kind of helps me at the end of the day when, if I'm having like a bad day. Do you ever have like good days, bad days, or is it pretty even keel?
I have good, bad days. You know, I will be completely transparent because I think life is all about being transparent, especially now with, you know, having this platform, just because you never know who you're going to help. I've had more bad days recently than good, but I'm looking forward to the good days. You know, I've been traveling a lot more recently too, just for work, and I've never really traveled that much until this past year. And usually when I travel, it's like vacations. I'm like, I don't have to work out or I don't have to stay active, you know, and vacation for me usually is revolved around good food, you know. So if I've been in New York in the past, it's like going to good Italian restaurants, you know? So now when I do that, I still do that, but then I'm doing it once a month, you know? And it's like, it is getting a little bit difficult there, but I think I'm just finding a balance, you know, I'm just trying to find a good balance in life. But I do have good days as well. I definitely do have good days.
How do you like sort of appreciate those good days? Or are you just kind of waiting for the next bad day to come? Like,
I'm always waiting for the bad.
Anxiety.
Yeah. My anxiety is ready for the bad all the time. No, I appreciate the good days. I usually find that my best days too are when I'm around people who make me laugh and people who make me smile. And then that's when I feel my best. And then that's what gives me the serotonin I need in order to, you know, get to the gym, work out, go for a walk, you know, stand at my standing desk, the little things too that people do, you know, just to stay on top of their, you know, their activity or to make sure their Apple Watch isn't, you know, buzzing every 2 seconds. but yeah, I think it's just, and I have actually started, as cliche as it sounds, started journaling. You know, because that's the one thing my therapist and I were just working on.
I've been thinking about that. I keep hearing everybody, oh my God, the wonders of journaling.
Can I show you my journal? You're going to die when you see this journal.
Yes.
Okay. Are you ready? So first of all, I have two pens that I use. Yeah. I have this pen.
Like Milky pens?
A Milky pen. A gel pen. It's a jelly roll.
Oh, I remember those.
Yeah. And then, or one of these like click pens where you can click different colors.
Yes.
But then my Lisa Frank notebook. Someone gave to me and they're like, hey, you should start journaling. And then they know obviously my content. So they gave me this Lisa Frank notebook.
I love that. Mm-hmm. First of all, Milky pen, gel pens, like we traded those.
Oh, right? I have a vivid memory of me in fourth grade, like biting on the back of one and it exploded onto the girl in front of me. Exploding, and I just like stayed silent the rest of the class because I was so embarrassed. I was like, I don't know what to do. And then I literally ran out and I heard her scream as I'm like on the way out the door.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I loved Milky pens and loved drawing with them, or like the ones on the black paper that you can draw.
Oh,
I like
that. My God.
You remember those?
Yeah.
I also wrote to Lisa Frank in third grade.
She's an icon. There's a blender jet just came out. It's a Lisa Frank limited edition. Those like handheld, those little handheld blenders that are like on Instagram. Oh. Yeah, they have a Lisa Frank one.
So Lisa Frank is like coming back.
As we know, many trends are coming back. Yes, Lisa Frank.
How do you feel about that? Like as a millennial nostalgia, like aficionado, how do you feel about these things coming back, or should they stay back and stay fond in our heads?
I feel like as a man, not too many have come back. For men, it's been more like 90s trends, which I never really like leaned into in general, but like really baggy jeans, which I have big thighs and I'm 6'5". So it's just like, that will never look good on me. So I've kind of stayed neutral with
that
my style.
That came back for women too.
Yeah, but for women too. It
doesn't work for a 5 foot girl either.
It's just a lot of leg for me to show a lot of baggy, you know? It's like, I feel like the trends work for people who are like 5'11", you know, classic. But I think the trends at first were just like, oh, like this is cool. But now it's like, it's really try hard. It's like Bella Hadid trying to throw herself back into 2002. She's trying to be like you know, Christina, Destiny's Child, with her thin lip liner, her thin eyebrows, she's bringing back side bangs, which is just so interesting that that's like the trends that are now coming back. We're giving them too much power.
Yeah. And she's also, everybody's always doing it all at once.
Yeah.
It's like we got to like ease into the old stuff and then see what sticks. Like, I'm not going to be wearing butterfly clips again. Like, it's just not going to happen.
It's like, can you imagine me getting on this and you have like, you're like, hello. And she's like, yeah, you
know. I did wear my like scrunchie for you.
Yeah. The scrunchie's fine. I was thinking, I'm like, I need to get ahead of a trend. So I did. Because it's funny, a lot of these trends I never partook in, or even like the videos that I'm making, like did not fit into Hollister, right? Like I wanted to so badly. Even there was one time that my grandma knew how badly I wanted to fit into Hollister that she bought me an Old Navy polo and then sewed a little seagull that did not even look, it didn't even look like it.
That's so funny.
But
that's so sweet.
I did buy a couple Ed Hardy shirts. So I do think Ed Hardy
recently.
They just came in last week. I do think Ed Hardy's going to make a return.
Oh boy. Mm-hmm. As long as you didn't buy like yourself a Von Dutch hat, I think we're okay.
No, I was gifted a Von Dutch hat by Lance Bass, which is really funny. But
oh, well, then in that case, you have to wear it.
And it's rainbow. So I'm like, okay, so like probably June,
okay,
I'll wear
fine,
it. Yeah.
Fine. With the exception of one of their hats, I don't know how I feel.
Yeah, with Lance Bass giving it to me, it's fine.
This episode is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always find the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you, Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for this season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X as well as petite and maternity. And you always have the option to buy what you love. I love Nuuly. I've rented so many cute things from there, and I've even made a few purchases from there. And they're always spot on. They have so many brands that I honestly could never afford in real life, so it's great to be able to rent them. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DST20. Just go to Nuuly, that's Nuuly.com, and enter the code DST20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, with code DST20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes. Warmer weather is finally back. After so many cold months, it's nice to get outside and soak up the sun, but the springtime always brings those unwanted guests, pollen and seasonal allergies. April showers bring spring flowers and sniffly noses and stuffed up sinuses. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. I suffer from seasonal allergies. I just had them hit the other day. I couldn't breathe through my nose at all. And I popped a Claritin and it was like night and day. I'm a huge fan of Claritin. I use it on the regular and it always helps when we're making that transition from winter to spring, which is when my allergies flare up. Mainly it's my sinuses that get so clogged and the Claritin just clears it right up. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has 2 powerful ingredients in just 1 pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy throat and nose, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Ready to live your life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
Okay, let's go back. Let's say people are listening and, you know, you talking about nostalgia and you making all your content. I think while maybe you're not having a really good day, somebody else is because they're watching something you make. And I know that doesn't always, like somebody might tell me that about my company or something and it doesn't really press. You're like, okay, you know.
Yeah.
But do you process that? Like, how do you take in that info, because it really, like, when I watch your content, like, does make me feel better.
Oh, thank you. And it's so interesting now that I have to be in the, like, the biggest thing that gets me down, which is so sad, because I'm like, I was never competitive growing up, you know, and that, you know, I was just inclusive and I still am. I just want to make sure everyone gets along. But it is so easy to compare yourself. That is where literally, I've heard it for years, but I know Tinks has said it recently, which, you know, is like really brought it to light for a lot of the younger generation, which is great, is comparison is the thief of joy. That is one thing that I, you know, have in my head, but I'll be spiraling and be like, oh my God, this person's getting millions of views for doing the same thing I'm doing. And I'm working just as hard and all this stuff. And first of all, I'm like, an algorithm's not going to be around forever, to keep telling myself that. But then I'll just get a DM from someone and, you know, it's be like, hey, this video, they'll send me a specific reel. Like, this made me laugh so hard. I needed it today. Something as small as that just really made me feel like I am doing this for a reason, you know? And I'll just be like, you know what? If one person a day sends me that, that's all I'm doing it for, you know, is to brighten up people's days. And that's why I even started doing it, you know, without the pressure of this like algorithm or continuous growth, you know?
Yeah. And it works.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad you brought that Tinks thing up. I mean, I've heard that like a lot of places, but she repeats it. It gets in my head.
Yeah.
But it's also not just even comparison. It's like focusing on the like imbalance of like the negative versus the positive, like getting one negative comment or like,
oh my God,
hearing one or thinking one negative thing that somebody else thinks about you. It's not even necessarily true, but focusing on that instead of like all the positive people or the positive messages around you, like that's also a thief of joy. Do you experience that?
I definitely do, because I, especially when I post an ad, which sucks, because I'm like, people on the internet expect so much, you know, which they don't really have a right to, like especially trolls. And I'm like, not going to tell people that I donate to charity with the money that I get from an ad, but that's what I do. Right. And it's just cause like, that's like what I've always said. If I have a platform, I give to Jed Foundation. I work with Jed Foundation a lot. I give to a couple of local charities. And that's why it's so great to have these opportunities to do a sponsored post in order to do that. And it's usually brands that I like enjoy partnering with, but I'll get like one negative thing about an ad where it's like sellout or capitalism. And I'm like, well, yeah, we live in America. Like capitalism is here. We are capitalism. But then I'll be like, okay, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm done, you know? I see the hundreds of other people who are commenting saying, boosting for engagement or get that bag or, you know, or like, I love this product. You know, it just really brings it back to perspective.
Yeah. Well, so I hear something amazing happening is that you are launching a podcast.
Finally.
Yeah. Finally, I'm excited. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So can you tell us about it and like what made you venture in this direction?
It's so funny because even for years now, I've just had, you know, classic man wanting to make a podcast, but I've always said I wanted to make it. Yeah. Oh, I'm a millennial man. Why not make a podcast? But it's not going to be like other men's podcasts. Okay. For those people listening, it's always something I wanted to do. And there's been a lot of different ideas, but then with this rise of my content, you know, and all this stuff, I'm like, well, maybe I do have a voice. And growing up, I never thought I was funny. I never thought I was charismatic. I was like, not the funny friend. I was the annoying one. And it's just so funny that now people are like, you're hilarious. And I'm like, stop lying to me, you know?
Yeah, so I don't believe it. Yeah, yeah, like, that's what I was saying before. Yeah,
exactly. agree with me that I'm not. But then I just decided, you know, like maybe I should take this content that I'm doing and put it into something longer, something more consistent that, you know, is a passion project for me because I do these brand deals. You know, I have a couple other things in the works I'm excited about. But this podcast, even if I take $0 away from it, is what I'm most excited for right now, just because I get to connect with people and I'm going to have a lot of audience engagement in it. So it's basically going to be 20 to 30 minute episodes, very similar to my millennial recaps. So if you're familiar with those, very similar to that type of content, there's going to be a guest and it's going to have a lot of audience involvement through my TikTok and my Instagram too.
That's fun. What are you going to talk about?
Going to talk about millennial pop culture. There's a lot of nostalgia talk, current events, kind of reminiscing on like old TV shows, music, defining moments. And then each guest who we discuss those things along with like corporate anxiety as well, you know, and just basically it's a combination of everything I've talked about in my career, TikTok so far.
That's exciting. Yeah, I'm excited for it to come out. What's it going to be called?
Millennial Made.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay, wait. Why do you think that you were the annoying friend?
Oh my God, because that's what my anxiety told me. And then I would, and then
did
I
anyone would call you annoying?
And then I would ask, of course, when I was bullied, you know, because people were insecure, right. You know, and I was just wanting to fit in. So I probably did seem annoying, you know, because I would push myself on people to like fit in, you know, or copy people's trends and all of this. But then if I think I'm annoying, I ask people if they're annoyed with me, which my therapist and I have helped. I haven't done that in quite some time. But then that people be like, I wasn't annoyed with you, but now I am.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. I'm definitely.
See, like, you're in for a honey friend.
Yeah. I have the random anxiety that people talk about. I think this is the most common anxiety that I'm like, wait, I literally thought I was the only one. And this was thinking that your friends have a group chat without you.
Oh, no. Like 100%. I have that anxiety.
Yeah.
There's so many different ways like social anxiety like that can manifest. Mm-hmm. Give me another really good one. That's a good one. The group chat.
Yeah. The group chat of like, or you're just like talking, like telling a story and then you're like, no one's interested in this and you just stop.
No one's listening.
Yeah. There have been times where people stop listening and like, okay, I'm done. Because I'm pretty long winded, but that's another really common one for me. It's like, I'll start telling a story. Or even now, if like I'm with, you know, like collabs are fun with social media people. Like I was at a dinner with a couple creators and then I'm like, do you guys want to make a TikTok? And then in my head, their answer was a little iffy, but they were like, sure. And I was like, they said, sure, they don't want to do it. You know, they were like enthused, like, yes, I would love to. And then I was like, it's okay, guys, we don't have to. And like, okay, let's do it. I'm like, no, you guys, it's okay. You don't want to. And like, we want to. Yeah, yeah. And then they're like, you're being annoying. And I'm like, I'm annoying. And, you know, it's like a full on spiral.
That's really funny. Yeah. That's so true. Also, like whenever I'm talking, you're just talking for a long time, you can get like in your head. And then all of a sudden you're like, what the fuck am I talking about? And you're just still going. Mm-hmm. And then that's when you kind of like slowly do the slow fade out.
And that's it.
Yeah. Peace, I'm out. Yeah. I'm out of this conversation. Mm-hmm.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Okay, well, speaking of nostalgia, let's do our DST confessions.
Great.
So I'm going to get you to confess to something. And the topic that we're confessing about is music.
Okay.
So what embarrassing song have you listened to more times than you would admit? I feel like it's got to be really embarrassing, not like, oh, you're actually cool.
Well, no, I mean, I think that's one thing I've kind of put it out there in the world that I listened to Radio Disney Bops from 2000s, you know. I think the really embarrassing one that this is so bad. It gives me so much serotonin, though. Do you remember when like Raven Simone, Sweet Life, they all did like, they used to do these like Disney Channel collabs and one of them was them singing A Dream Is a Wish Your Heart Makes. I think it was like a combination of a couple of Disney songs, but it was just like, I remember back in the day I was watching like, oh my God, they're on it. Like I remember vividly watching it and like, oh, it's them. And sometimes I'll just put it in the background now. It's like Disney Channel All Stars. My other embarrassing one would definitely be Hamster Dance, which everyone I think knows that one too.
How does it go? Can you sing it?
It goes.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
Okay, I have two embarrassing for different reasons. Mm-hmm. There was a period of time when I was obsessed with Hailee Steinfeld's Hell No and Headphones. Do you know that song?
Yeah.
I would blast it. I couldn't really, like, it was just about a girl who was, you know, like, famous, but like would not do drugs. And like, so she'd just say hell no and put on her headphones. Yeah. And I would, I don't know, I wasn't like even in that age. Yeah. Like where I was being peer pressured. I was just like, yeah, Haley.
It's so funny that her and Zendaya like had quick music careers, because now they're like some of the biggest actresses in the world and they just don't talk about it. Like, we don't talk about Zendaya has a music career.
What does she say? What is Zendaya
Replay?
Saying?
I didn't think that was embarrassing, but I still listen to that one too if it is embarrassing.
Zendaya's Replay?
It's called
she
Replay.
She sang?
Big time. Well, I think one of her Disney shows she sang on too.
Oh my God. This whole Disney
She's a jack of
stuff.
All trades. Well, she was in Greatest Showman. Remember?
That's true. Yeah, she was great.
She sings. I think, well, for doing that too, I think another one that I've been listening to lately, which is, I don't know, kind of embarrassing, is Addison Rae's Obsessed song. It's good. It's a bop.
I haven't heard it. You know, I haven't heard it. My this one's not embarrassing, but the reason I use this song is embarrassing. So when I put my daughter to bed, mm-hmm. like I hold her up before I like literally put her down after she's eating. So with like, if I'm not reading her a book, I just have to like kind of hold her up, and I do it over with a timer. But instead, I just put on Taylor's 10-minute version of All Too Well as my like 10-minute timer, because it's 10 minutes.
I've heard a lot of people do that actually.
And so I keep cooking with All Too Well. But so like, crying. So, oh, the song's over, you know, time to go to bed.
Oh,
and
it's good.
Now it's stuck in my head to the point where I feel like I'm wearing headphones, mm-hmm. and I'm just like humming constantly. And I'm like, I need to stop. I need to find a different 10-minute song, but yeah. It's just so easy.
I'm trying to think. I don't think there's any other 10-minute song.
I'm not gonna like
there.
Play my kid Fish.
Yeah. I know. It's just like Dave Matthews Band.
Yeah. Like a jam out band. Like that's not relaxing. Yeah, no. But this has been so fun. Yeah. Thank you, Rod. I'm sure everybody knows where to find you, but just can you give a quick reminder? Yes.
No. Touché. Just me.rod on Instagram and then Rod on TikTok. ROD. Not
That's
Rod.
Great. And everyone go check out Rod's podcast when it's out.
Yes.
In February a week 17th. Or 2 weeks.
Yeah, February 17th, Amazing. Whenever that happens.
And that is it for this episode of Diet Starts Tomorrow. Rod will be back with us this Thursday to answer your Dear DST questions. So be sure to send them to us, dst@betches.com. You can DM us at Diet Starts Tomorrow. Follow at Diet Starts Tomorrow if you're going to DM us, because like that's poor form.
Why not?
And if you like this episode, please write us a review and buy our merch and everything I said in the beginning of the show. And we're always with you.
Through thick and thin.
Diet Starts Tomorrow is produced by Sean Kilby, Stacey Wong, and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Stacey Wong. Be sure to follow at Diet Starts Tomorrow on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And send us your emails to dst@betches.com.
Thank you to our partner, Impossible Foods. Some people say we would be better off if we ate less meat, which is why Impossible Foods made delicious and nutrient-packed meat from plants. So you can eat more meat, like home-style meatballs, hot dogs, chicken nuggets, and so much more, all made from plants. Impossible creates delicious meat from plants that's better for the planet, so everyone can eat more of it. Check out ImpossibleFoods.com to see how you can help solve the meat problem with more meat. That's ImpossibleFoods.com.
Betches.